During the Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat, we talk to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, and I'm your host, as well as chief encourager and author. And there's a reason that I created and host this podcast. It's for you. I was in your shoes. And for those who don't know, I want to give you a little background as to how we got here and why we're here. In short, I'm a former sports entertainment publicist turned traditionally published author and now your podcast host. When I worked at the NBA, I had a front row seat to all things spectacular and entertainment. I managed everything from red carpets to work in the playoffs. But somewhere in between, I started to wonder what was next. After doing some serious personal development work and eventually quitting, I was determined to get my first manuscript published. With no prior publishing experience, within 4 months, I had a deal in hand with Simon & Schuster to publish my debut book. After making a split decision, I drug all of my belongings down the stoop of my building in Harlem for a stoop sale to help finance a one-way ticket to London. Exactly 11 months later, my first book was published, Preseason Loved. It was released nationwide, and I had the experience of a lifetime living in hostels in London, rooming with complete strangers in shady council housing flats, getting lost among the canals of Venice, and trying to avoid capture by the Royal Palace Guards in Morocco. That was the start of my journey to a drastically different life, my own switch, pivot, or quit. I hope this show serves as encouragement and inspiration for you, showing what you can do when you block out the demands of who others think you should be and go for what truly feels good to you. Now let's get into it. On today's show, we're chatting with Gabby LaRussa, a floral installation artist and owner of the floral design company Flower Gypsies, which was founded about 4 years ago after Gabby transitioned from her career in marketing, where she had previously lent her talents to companies like Ferrari and Maserati of San Diego and the Lafayette Hotel. Gabby took a love of flowers and turned it into art. Since following her intuition, she's really made her mark by creating a niche for herself. Gabby's known for being an early creator of cool with the infamous Insta-famous flower walls that you see everywhere from festivals to creative conferences. She's been featured in a Pop Sugar campaign with Jeep and created flower installations all over the country for celebrities like Sam Smith, at festivals and conferences like Coachella and South by Southwest, and for brands from Old Navy to Bulgari. This girl is a true star. I really enjoyed our conversation, and you guys want to make sure that you continue listening because she's just so great. I'm excited for you to hear what we chatted about. Gabby, so excited to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, yes, yes. So let's just jump right in. As you know, on this podcast, we talk all about the switch, pivot, or quit experience. So you've had your own SPQ experience, and I'd love for you to just share with everyone a bit of your story.
Okay. So I guess from the beginning, I was a sociology major, and I graduated from San Diego State University. Mm-hmm. And from there, I got into more of the marketing side of business. And I had a couple marketing jobs, more like, you know, they were fun, but I always kind of had more of a creative passion. So on the side, I always did more artistic things while I had a 9-to-5 job. But I've talked to, you know, some people who had the same experience as me where I would sit at work and just, I would have like a question in my mind all the time. Like, is this what life is?
But like, I feel you.
I think about it all the time. Like, is this life where you go to work at a certain time, you get dressed, you do the same exact thing every day, and then you get, you know, 2 days out of the week for your weekend where you have to do all the things that you need to do, like laundry and grocery shopping. And then you have a couple hours to yourself and then you go back and do the routine. And, you know, at that time, I didn't think anything was possible besides what I kind of grew up with, which was you go to college and you get a real job and you get security, you know, you have insurance through the job and all that stuff. And I, you know, I even told my family and my mom and stuff, like, I'm just really confused. I don't know if it's just me or like, cause everyone around me was doing it and they seemed totally fine about it.
Right.
So I don't know if it was just, if I'm like a different kind of person or maybe everyone is thinking it, but doesn't really do anything, you know, for it. So, as I was doing the marketing and the 9-to-5 job on the side, I would play with flowers. They were my favorite thing. It was my hobby to do. And my boyfriend at the time was a UI engineer and he said, let me make you a website. Like you can sell your flowers on the side. You do it all the time. You know, I'll practice my UI engineering skills on the website. And I was like, sure, whatever. I didn't think anything of it.
Right.
It started blowing up so fast. And I was like, wow, people are like, I was on Etsy at first and then he made me a website and I was like, people are buying my stuff, you know, or asking me to create stuff. Like I love doing it. This is what I do on the side and I'm actually making money from it.
Right.
And it kind of started to grow bigger and bigger. And then it got to a point where I was getting so busy with the flowers that I needed to make a decision if I was going to focus, you know, my whole career on the marketing still, if I was going to take a leap and do that. And that was really scary. And it took a little bit of time too, to have the courage to do that. And a lot of my friends and family, when I told them that I was having the idea of doing that and starting to save up a little bit so I can make that switch, which is really, I love the name of your show. Cause it really was a switch, you know? I had people saying, no, this is crazy. You're going to stay here, you know? And I was like, I'm an adult.
Like I can do what I want. Okay.
Yeah, I can do it, you know? And I actually didn't have too many people that were encouraging about it, which was a little hard for me. But I did it. And, I quit my job and I went full throttle with the flowers. And when everyone sees me as the floral installation girl, you know, I just started doing bouquets and arrangements and flower crowns was our big thing. And as the business started growing, I started exploring more options of what I can do with what I loved.
Right.
And so now I'm here today with the business, 4.5 years old. And now we do the flower wall trends.
Which are amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. I love your story. And I love that you share that people weren't always supportive, you know, because a lot of times when people come across stories like yours and they see the pretty shiny portion of it and the success, they're thinking like, oh, she has it made. But like you had to fight your way to that because not everyone was so confident that you would get to this point, I'm sure.
Honestly, I didn't have family giving me money like that, or I worked my way. I had in college, I had 3 jobs, an internship, and, you know, paying my way through college. It's not like I had like a lot of money to start a business and see how it goes. You know, it was like, save the money, do what I can with that little bit of savings, and also trying to show people that this could be something.
Right.
And yeah, that was a really, really hard time. I had a lot of tears and a lot of like fight inside my head going, am I crazy? Is this it? You know, because I also had somebody saying, you know, businesses in the first year to 3 years fail, the first year fails, you know, that was really scary too. Like I don't, so people are going to see me leaving my job and start something. And then maybe just have them watch me fail and go, I told you.
Right.
You know, there's so many different things that, you know, you fight within your head, but I'm so happy I did it.
Yeah. You have to keep going. You just have to keep going. Was there anything from your marketing experience that you had been able to, or have been able to transfer over and use within your career now?
100%. I didn't go to any kind of floristry school. I mean, I've taken classes now because I'm really interested and I love to see what all the other amazing florists are doing. I mean, there are some amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first started as just it being a hobby and I started like a social media and all that stuff, I mean, I think I knew how to market anything at that point. I was working for full social media and marketing platforms. So to be honest, I think I just knew how to market myself in the beginning. And then I actually started growing and learning and really understanding what being a florist was.
Mm.
So that helped me out a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And I still do all my stuff, although, you know, I don't have as much time to do it as much as I did before, but yeah. 100% is the answer.
I love that. I love that. So what would you say when you were sitting back marketing and doing social media for other people, what would you say was like this, the real like big pull that made you say, you know what? It's time. I've been doing this on the side. It's time for me to walk away from this steady marketing check and just take this risk on myself.
Oh, well, okay. I have to say, and in those Pop Sugar things, they kind of said it a lot, but it's true. When I had that aha moment, it was when I actually started making money from doing what I love doing as a hobby, what I love doing. I was happy with doing that work and I was, you know, getting paid for it.
Mm.
And there's just, there really is something that clicks like going, this is possible. You know, this is something that I can actually do all the time and see what I can turn it into.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And also working as hard as most people do for someone else's dream, you know, like when you start working for your own dream, it's not work anymore. You know, it's like, it's you building your own dream and your own business up. So I'd also add in that I do remember looking at the clock going, oh my God, it's 3:32. It's 4:45. It's 5:59, you know, and I haven't done that in so long because I can't even get enough hours in the day, you know, like hopefully I can have enough time to maybe work out and then I'm rushing home to get to that. But when you're doing it for yourself, it really doesn't feel like work. It's actually an amazing feeling. And I hope a lot of people will be able to experience it like me. It's something that's, I mean, you probably know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't anymore.
Yeah, I definitely remember those days, like sitting there. I remember, and I tell them this, like, I remember the days, like walking to the train. I was living in New York and I'd be walking to the train every morning and I'd be trying to figure out, like, how am I going to get out of this? Like, how am I going to get out of this job? Like, what can I do? Like, what am I going to do? And I would just be racking my brain and I'd just be like having those quiet moments with myself, like, okay, you need to dig deep. You need to figure this out. Like, what are you going to do? Because I was just like so, like, over it. And like you, I felt the same way. I was thinking like, this can't be life. Like, this just can't be life. Like, not every day.
I know. And I was always looking around at people too, going like, is this like, am I just crazy? Or what? You know, when the most exciting part of your day is your lunch break.
Yes.
You know, like, where am I going to go to lunch today? You know, I'm like, wait, what? This cannot be real, man.
Right. I remember I used to sit on the train and to and from work, I would watch other people and I would try and guess their story. And I would ask myself the same thing. I'd be like, are they happy? Like, is this their life? Do they feel the same way that I feel? Like, do they like going to work every day? Like, I was so curious because I just started to feel this feeling like, am I alone in this and feeling like, I'm over it and I want to switch and I want to do something different. Like, am I the crazy one here? So I totally hear you. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. This feels good, man.
Yeah.
So now I have girlfriends around me that they all go to me, oh, how do you do it? They ask me that, you know, and I say, it's honestly like, what do you love doing? What do you love doing?
Right.
You know, and then just, you know, work towards that. You know, I know where they're at, but, you know, it really is possible.
Right. Like, so if one of your girlfriends came to you and said that and you say, yes, you can do it, it's possible. Like, what type of encouragement do you give them to just sort of get started? Like, what do you tell them? Maybe like the first thing that they should try and do to even just get started on venturing out on this path that feels good to them?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have had a ton of, they always almost praise me and I'm like, you guys, like, come on. It's, you know, like, I'm like, I do have a couple girlfriends who I feel like want to go down that path, but a lot of people are just scared.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly of them, you know, not having like that security. And I mean, I don't really know. I know one of my girlfriends works in, she's like an esthetician, but she works under someone else. And I was telling her, why don't you just start your own little thing on the side and see how it goes, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I don't, you know, this and that. I'm like, but I guess I just question them to see what they say back and to see how confident they are. And yet, and also it's hard to even, someone has to be ready to make that switch. True. You can't pressure them into it, you know? And I've actually learned that from what you're talking about with telling my girlfriends and stuff, because when they do ask me, I tell them my story and what I did, but you know, you can still see kind of the fear in them, you know, like they need to kind of overcome that. Otherwise, I don't think that, you know, it is a really hard process at times.
It's tricky because most of us were conditioned, like you said earlier, to just go to school, finish high school, go to college, get this degree, you know, become qualified to do something in particular, and then just live. You know, they don't really talk about like finding your happiness within living and being accountable for your own happiness and like creating your own way. And that makes people fearful. It does. And I can understand their fear, but I think a part of it is trusting yourself. And also it's like, I've heard this said before, like, would you rather be fearful of like going out there and venturing on this unknown life, or would you rather be so fearful that you're stuck and you never know what's out there for you? Like,
right.
Hello.
You try.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So for those people that think that working for yourself is all peachy and fun and freedom and all that kind of good stuff, can you share at least one bit of reality that may make them change their perception or think twice about their perception of like what life is like being an entrepreneur?
Well, one big thing I can say is you never stop working. So if you want to make that kind of switch, be prepared to be 24/7 working all the time. With that said, you're working for yourself and it is your dream and it is your baby. So I don't have a kid. I have a dog, but I think it's when people say like, when you have a kid, you'll love it unconditional no matter what. That's how I feel about my business. I'm working 24/7 all the time, but I'm working towards my dream and my baby, you know? So it's kind of like hard to explain really, because a lot of my friends, they'll go to work, but they get to shut off when they're, you know, that 6 o'clock hits and they're out.
Right.
And they go, you know, they go to dinner and they go see, you know, their friends or their boyfriend or whatever, go to sleep. You know, I'm like, you know, it never turns off. Mm-hmm. But when it's yours, it doesn't really matter to me, but you do have to prepare to be working all the time.
Yeah.
That is one thing that's different. Like, I don't really have too much time at the moment to go meet up, and I try with girlfriends and stuff, and I try to do that as much as possible, but I don't think they really understand like literally how busy I am, where I'm like, I really can't. They'd be like, really? I'm like, no, I'm like in a different state. Like, I was in Nevada last week and then I was in LA and I'm back and now I'm in San Diego right now. And then I'm going to Texas and it's like, they don't even know where I am anymore. But,
right.
You know, and another thing I wanted to add too, is I do a lot of traveling, which was a really big dream of mine. And now that I'm doing this and I have people that work for me, I'm able to do that. For the past 3 years, I've been traveling 3 to 5 months at a time. And that's been a really big part of my life and part of having my own business. It's really opened up a lot of doors for me.
Right, right. Which is amazing. And speaking of opening up doors, you had this collaboration recently with Pop Sugar and Jeep, and it was pretty freaking awesome. So many of our listeners, you know, they have side hustles and they really, truly can only dream of collaborations like that. Can you share with our listeners how that particular opportunity sort of came about and what that experience has been like for you since?
Yeah. Well, Well, when they contacted me, and I honestly, they must have just Googled. I don't know. I didn't even ask them how they called me. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want to be like, how did you find me?
Right.
You
know? The cool thing is they did.
Yeah. But I thought it, like, I kept thinking inside, oh my God, is this a joke? Like, they're going to wake up, they're going to be like, fooled, you know? Like, oh my God, you know? But yeah. It was real. Like, they said, we're looking for, you're in the, like 10 girls that we're looking at for entrepreneurial women who've like built their own business and wake up, you know, in the morning and start their day and doing this and that with, you know, I can't even explain it right now. I'm still in shock about it.
Yeah. So did Jeep reach out to you or Pop Sugar?
Pop Sugar reached out to me.
Sweet.
And okay. We're doing a collab with Jeep and, mm-hmm. but Jeep was their client. So Jeep had the last, say and pick in the talent, which is, you know, I was right. The talent. So.
Right.
I was like, oh, me. It was, I mean, I gotta say, filming and kind of doing a little bit of having them around was pretty intense. Mm-hmm. They had, it was like 10, 12 hour days and yeah. They were filming and there was a director and there was PAs and they had hair and makeup. I was like, I never do my hair or my makeup. This is amazing. I mean, you see me in that video. I look pretty decent. My hair is never done like that, but that was cool. It was a really cool experience. And I already know now too how much of an impact it's had on my business. And I'm really grateful for that. The amount of people that have, even friends and family, like reposting on Facebook, saying how proud they are of me. I honestly, before then, I knew that people were proud of me, but I didn't realize how big of an impact I had from all the reposting and everyone messaging me and stuff. So mm-hmm. that was a big like pat on my shoulder. I was really excited about that. And I was even more excited that I was able to see everyone's reaction, which I was nervous about it too, you know, because mm-hmm. I do the behind the scenes work, you know, like you were saying earlier, it looks all beautiful flowers and this and that. And it's some grueling work, you know, your work for Fresh Flower Walls, you're working really long hours because they're time sensitive. And then we set up before the event and we break up after the event. So you see the people around it, but you're not actually there in the glamorous, you know, I'm sitting back with my hair in a bun, no makeup on and wet and dirt. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. With your hands dirty. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. Wearing like gloves and just shears and everything. So mm-hmm. That's a little more glamorous side of what we do because we're building a silk wall there.
So had you done anything like that before? Or was this like your first sort of like big collaboration project on camera, all that kind of stuff?
Oh, that was my first time.
I love it. Well,
it wasn't my first. I was so nervous.
Oh my gosh. You look like a professional. You look like you've done it 10 times before. So I'm sure there'll be more opportunities to come. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that would be rad.
Yeah. 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 So when you first decided to sort of like take this leap and, you know, you realize, hey, I'm making money and this is sort of like working as my side thing. Did you really concentrate on social media as being your avenue to sort of get the word out? Or was there a different like marketing tool or something that you used to sort of say, okay, this is how I'm going to establish my place in this space?
Right. So I did a couple of different things. I knew I had to get my name out there when I actually made the switch over. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to really, you know, get my name out, show people what I'm capable of and how passionate I am and, mm-hmm. you know, how well I can do this. So social media was a really my first big step on that because that's what I was used to doing anyways. And building my SEO on the website, like I said before, my ex-boyfriend was a UI engineer and he actually taught me everything. I use a WordPress website and he was telling me how important it was. And I knew that before from, you know, working with marketing and looking at my Google Analytics and stuff, but my SEO is pretty high now on my website. And I do follow a lot of my analytics and a lot of people do find me from just a Google search. So that's really exciting. And another thing I did was I did any kind of event I possibly could at, whether I was making money or not, and maybe mm-hmm. even losing some money, because I had put it in as marketing. Mm-hmm. Being at any kind of event, any kind of vending. I did a ton of vending at the time. And I mean, now I have, you know, 15 plus girls and some guys working for me. Before, I mean, it was just me. Mm. So I would like, I had the whole setup, like a tent and like a table. And it was, you know, I mean, when I look back, I'm like, damn, I had some drive, because yeah. I couldn't even imagine doing that by myself anymore. I mean, I really pushed it. So I think like any kind of little guerrilla marketing, like just having a face to the name, you know, so people can meet me and, mm-hmm. and I can explain to them really what it is. Because there's only so much you can do with, you know, writing on a website or showing pictures on social media. I think it's really important to have people see who's behind that name. And I'm happy to do that.
Absolutely. So because your business is like largely fueled on creativity, like we've been talking about, and sort of like putting your creativity out there and establishing yourself with your creativity and your creations, what's your take on like, I guess I'll just go ahead and use the word copycats. What's your take on like copycats and competition, and how do you deal with it?
Well, I think at first that's happened a couple of times. I had a couple people take my name and, or they took all my social media from my Instagram and made their own page, but I contacted Instagram. I'm like, this is so weird, you know, but
yeah,
but at this point with all the flower bars and, I do flower crown bars and mini bouquet bars, and then all the flower walls. Mm-hmm. I look at everything from when I, like I was saying, I first saw like the Dior walls and stuff. I mean, that was an amazing artist and florist who was making those. So I don't know if I want to even call any of those people copycats. Or like maybe they're inspired by what I do and they want to do that as well. I used to get kind of down on that and be like, oh, who is this? And why are they doing this? You know, we can only be as good as we can with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. As long as they don't take my name and say it's them, you know.
Right.
More to them, you know. There's enough room for everyone in a creative world. Mm-hmm. And I'm not too hard on that anymore. I think maybe in the beginning I was, because I was kind of evolving into what actually Flower Gypsies was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I also know too that if a client's going to choose me, they're going to get the best.
There you go. I love it.
and I'm confident in that.
There you go. Exactly. That a girl. You have to be, for sure. So what's been like the most, or one of the most useful pieces of advice that you've received thus far? And it could be professional or personal advice.
You know, I like to say with the business, growing the business and learning, I had to take everything as a learning experience, even if it's something turned out bad or it didn't go the way I planned, or maybe in the beginning when I was trying to perfect my craft and certain things didn't go the way I wanted it to go, instead of kind of getting down on myself and feeling like low about it, I started taking everything and going, okay, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to try it this way. I'm going to tell this person to say it like this way. And as I started taking anything that I used to turn negative and make it actually into a positive, I think that really helped me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I saw that in like an inspirational quote or something, but it really has helped me. Really. It's like everything happens for a reason, and there's a reason why that happened. So that maybe thing that didn't go perfect your way, you know, there's a reason for that, because later in life, you're going to look back and say, oh, I remember why I didn't do it. So I'm going to do it this way instead.
Right, right. You learn from it and you move on, you don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
So because we all go through like these times where it's just like, you have so much going on, and some days it just gets like crazy, hectic and trying, and we're battling to just keep our head straight and move forward with it all, just balancing it all. What are some of the things that you find yourself doing, Gabby, that maybe are like self-care things or otherwise that just help you to keep going?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I, for one, I'm a beach girl and I live 3 blocks from the beach. But when I'm away too, if I need something to de-stress, I have to just go to the beach for like an hour. And that's not even just sitting in the sand. I just need to look at the ocean and zone out. And it might be called like a meditation, like you were saying, but it's, there's just something about it that clears my head. And I've always been like that. So I think the ocean's a really big part of my life. I've always lived by it. And that's something that I do to just decompress and have time to think about myself, which is really hard at times because you forget about yourself when you have a baby to take care of. And that's my company.
Right.
And another thing I do is I love working out. And I try to do that as much as possible. And I know I probably should be doing it more, but I know that when I get stressed, I need to just like get in that yoga class, get into that spin class. It's only an hour out of the day. It's like, okay, come on, it's an hour.
Right. Make it happen.
You know? And another thing I like to do is light a candle. I actually have one right now. And I think lighting a candle in a space where you feel like you have so much going on, you can just kind of like take a deep breath and just calm down a little bit. Cause I do have anxiety about some things sometimes, or like there's so much going on and there is those self-care things that you have to do
right
for yourself. I think I should probably start doing it more.
You know what? It's so crazy. Like I asked this question fully understanding that most of the women that I talk to are just really busy. And sometimes we don't really make the time for ourselves like we should. Like I've found myself before, like looking at my toenail polish, like what the hell? Like, you probably should take that off, you know? Or even like my nails, and I'm like,
I've been there.
Yeah, it's like this is so basic, but sometimes it's not even a conscious like I'm not gonna do it. Sometimes there's just so much happening that you just don't do it. You forget, and it's just there's no time for it. So I get it. We have to really make it a point to do like self-care things and the little things that make us happy. It's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
So have you figured out your why in life, Gabby? Do you feel like you know what your why is? And if so, can you share it with us?
Oh, that's hard, but maybe not.
And you know, if you haven't figured it out yet, it's absolutely fine. I feel like it's a work in progress as well.
Although I've had the business for a while and I'm almost 32 and I'm kind of understanding who I am. Mm-hmm. I think I probably need a little more time to, you know, I hope people are getting from my experiences and my story that's kind of coming out more now that, you know, anything really is possible. And when I do say that, I know people go, whatever, like, everyone says that anything's possible, but really anything is possible. And I really do believe in the universe giving back and always being positive. The more positive thought you have into the universe, it's going to give back. So I don't know what my why is right now, but I do hope that maybe my why might be turning into me being a little more of an inspiration to people that your dream can become a reality, because this is my dream. And it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting.
Gosh, I think that's like the best answer I've heard so far.
Get out of here.
No, I swear. I BS you not. Like, I feel like that is the rawest, realest answer. Like there's so much truth in that. And there's so many people who feel the same way. Hello, that's why they're listening. They're trying to figure out their why. They're trying to get to that next step. So to know that you're someone who's out there making moves and constantly you have all this action and all these things going on, because I'm a big person of action, but you're still figuring out your why. Like, that's real. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, do you really figure it out? Maybe until, I don't know, like I've talked to my mom and she still goes like, I don't even know. She still questions what life is and what's going on. And I'm like, I don't know if we'll ever know. But maybe we're just always kind of looking to what satisfies us best, you know? And at the moment I'm happy. So I hope that everyone else around me is happy as well when they're around me or around my craft, or if they want to just chat, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And trust me, chatting with you is like so effortless and fun. I love it. I was going to ask you, like, what does success mean or look like for you? But I feel like you sort of touched on it in your last answer. But is there anything else that you might want to add about what success looks like for you?
Yeah, I think I've said it a couple times. I think success for me is doing what I love every day and not feeling like I, for one, have to have a job where it's like a mundane thing.
Right.
And also I think success for me is, for me, flowers, it just brings a smile on anybody's face. And I've had clients who are like super uptight and like, you know, like grill is on, you know, and I'm like, I'm always nervous for as long as I've been doing it, which actually hasn't been that long, but for the 4 years I've been doing it, I still get nervous no matter how many times I've done something. But the second we bring out the installation or the second the flower bar goes out, I mean, it's just all smiles. Everyone's so happy. And that's reaching my success for making everyone around me smile and happy, because I'm a happy person. I love to laugh. I love everyone around me to be happy. And so far in my life, success is being happy in what I do every day and having everyone else around me feel the same.
Sweet. I love it. That's the perfect way to wrap up this interview. It's been such a pleasure. Can you let everyone know, Gabby, how they can keep up with you, continue to follow your story, check out all of your beautiful creations with flower gypsies and all that good stuff?
Yeah, cool. My Instagram is at flower_gypsies, GYPSIES. And I have a Facebook that's Flower Gypsies. And also our website has a ton of amazing photos and all the installations we do, flowergypsies.com.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your hectic schedule and chatting with us today and on the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks, hon. I had so much fun.
And yes, so did I. And as always, you guys, keep killing it.